podcast?
Movie, movie, podcast.
Are you getting this?
Really fucking funny bingo a while ago.
Yeah, welcome to the Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode number. Oh, I forgot to look it up. That's my bad. let's say a million. I am your host, Tiggs, and with me, as always, are Russ.
Pretty girls should always smile.
And Peter.
Entitles me?
Oh boy. All right. Well, we're going to get into this. It's been a couple of months, I think, since our last podcast. Early September.
Was it late?
No, late August.
Okay.
August? Yeah, it had to be. Yeah, so we're about, let's say, 2 months since our last one, which is pretty good for us to have another one.
Yeah, really.
And we didn't think anything was coming out. And then we had a list of 16 movies that we saw and we cut it down to 10. So, you know, pretty good for us. Pretty good for us. We do things other than the movies. But let's kick it off. Let's just dive right into it so we can finish this up before the Mets play game four and hopefully come back and tie up the series. sorry, Russ. With the latest in the Beetlejuice franchise, Beetlejuice.
Bro.
Did you like any of the 8 storylines that they started and didn't really go anywhere in this movie?
I have no fucking clue what I watched. And I don't know
this movie
is making stupid money. And I think it's from stupid people. Because it is so bad. This to me is almost Dark Shadows level Tim Burton bad. And Justin Theroux is, one, he's horrible in it. And two, he just dies. He was not the greatest guy on earth.
But no, you don't really like him.
He gets murdered.
Yep.
Yep.
Go ahead, Pete.
I was just gonna say it's the same exact thing with fucking Monica Bellucci, who just like is like a weird stalker that we just see do the same thing over and over again, and then just like randomly just like gets killed off in like 8 seconds later.
I saw it like a week ago, and we both sat, like Lizzie and I, we both sat there like, what on earth are we watching? And like, it's not like we don't remember Beetlejuice and like we don't like we it's been so long. We watched that like 3 weeks ago to prime us for this. And we were like, yeah, no, good movie. Fun.
Good movie.
Beetlejuice is not in it nearly as much as you think he is, but it's still a pretty good movie. Really
weird,
funny.
Weird, dark,
enjoyable. And that's where we left Beetlejuice. So I was like, OK, I don't want to blame Seth Graham Smith, my distaste for Seth Graham Smith, for why I don't think I'm going to like this movie. So we're just going to watch it. And then we did. And I was so completely and utterly disinterested in all of the plots. Every single one of them. Of which there were many.
There were at least 8 to 10. And they all seemed so unnecessary. Well, not all of them. I think that if you had picked like one or two, maybe like the daughter and like, you know, we'll just spoil whatever, it doesn't matter. And like the dead boyfriend type thing, like that seemed like an interesting plot. The one that really irked me though was Monica Bellucci's subplot, which she's spending the whole time trying to find Beetlejuice, a character that is known to show up when you say his fucking name 3 times in a row. Like, that's his whole thing. Like, what? And then they explain it away at one point at the very end where it's like, oh, I can't say the name. But, like, that's the whole point of him.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I blame Seth Graham Smith. It's really reeks of his, like, I have an idea. And you're like, can I get, like, 5 sentences on that idea? And he's like, I got 2.
Like,
it's
so just fucking stupid. Yeah. Where I threw my hands up, it wasn't the Monica Bellucci thing, because of all of the plots, that was the least frequent. to appear. So I forgot about it. And then I was like, oh, yeah, she's here. What made me, like, throw my hands up was when you see Lydia's dead husband or Astrid's dead dad, and he's, like, in wherever the afterlife helping them all of a sudden. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what are we doing? What's going on here?
Madden.
Why do you need the... First off, the movie is pleasantly short.
Yes, it is.
If you're going to be an hour and 44 minutes, you need an A plot. You need a B plot. You can have a C. You certainly don't need the D, E, F, and G.
Yeah.
And long, odd cameos. I like Danny DeVito as much as the next guy. Actually, probably more than the next guy. I love Danny.
Yeah.
He's up there, and I even said it when he came on screen. I was like, he's my favorite guy next to John Goodman. When those two dudes show up, and I'm a happy man. So I'm like, oh, an extended cameo. Sick. And then he gets killed, which is fine. And not one thing matters. Nothing matters, and it's all dumb as shit. And every plot is a tonally different plot than the next one. Michael Keaton's good, but who gives a shit?
This is the movie equivalent of like that this could have been an email like meme. Like that's what like this feels like, where it's just like just give me a Wikipedia. Like there's nothing here.
No.
It's so devoid of everything. It's three of these characters and you like them, right? And then that's it. There's nothing else to it. There's that animated sequence in the beginning that is just like, all right, I guess you just wanted to have an animated sequence right now with stuff going on. It's disjointed. It's weird. Keaton does fine.
he's as good as he's ever been, but it's like you're only a character is only as good as it's written to be.
And
in this instance, it's like, this is like a karaoke version. He's still doing a good job. There's just you can't outkick you can't outact your writing.
Yeah, how old he is almost works more for Beetlejuice the character. So I don't really care that he sounds tired.
Yeah, but it's just and it's frustrating because, there are some really, I like a lot of like the puppety stop motion practical effects. It's nice to see that kind of stuff happen. But if I see that stuff and I don't care about what's happening, I don't care that you did that.
Right.
100%. So it's like, yeah, is it better than CGI? And will this movie not really look that dated in probably 10 years? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I don't give a shit because it's bad. I'm never going to watch it again. So you made a beautiful looking piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's still a piece of shit. It sucks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest issue for me that I was like actively pissing me off while watching it is that Willem Dafoe has been one of the most interesting performers out there, I would say, in the last maybe even 10 years.
Oh, for sure.
And I thought the character they have him playing is utter nonsense. And I don't get the bit of the character at all.
Nope.
No.
And I don't understand. And I was, and I'm just like, how, I was like, just watching this movie running through my head of all the great Willem Dafoe performances we've gotten. And like serious
this
movies,
year.
Also like silly Willem Dafoe performances. And I was just like, I don't get this.
No.
And it's a criminal waste of him.
I was like, are you like a foil? Are you somebody like, is it funny that this is your job?
Yeah.
Like I was trying to figure, I'm like, what's the joke here?
Yeah. Cause as we said,
I thought the joke. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just saying to spoil because all those plots come together at the end. And as we said, Trudeau and Monica Bellucci are immediately killed off. And Willem Dafoe comes in and Beetlejuice is like, no, stop. This is a Beetlejuice movie. We're just going to do the ending to a Beetlejuice movie.
Yeah.
And it's just nothing. All of this was for nothing.
There was a while where I thought that Willem Dafoe wasn't going to leave like his office that he was in for like the first three times that he shows up. And I thought that that was going to be a pretty funny gag for like Willem Dafoe to just not leave a room and it to be Willem Dafoe. And then he does leave. And I was like, all right, well, you wasted this character.
It is pure, pure nonsense.
Yes.
It's doing so well. And I don't understand.
It did crazy
that.
Well. It did crazy well. Well, you know what? Like, so I guess good for Tim Burton. I don't know.
I guess, but like, the guy hasn't made anything good in a really long time.
I couldn't tell you the last Tim Burton film that I liked.
Yeah.
I liked Frankenweenie. Like, that, what was that, 2012, 2013?
Like 20 years ago? Oh, geez, that was recent? Oh, man. All right.
Yeah, we've been podcasting since. Yeah, it was 12 years ago. Or no.
Jesus.
Yeah, 12 years. When we first started this podcast.
That was the first year of the podcast?
Yes.
Wow.
I was 28 years young.
God.
I am now 40.
Yeah.
I don't think I've liked anything since then.
Yeah. In general, just like in life. Yeah, right. Yeah, totally. All right. Well, let's keep it going here. Then. Let's move. Well, let's kick it off to the next one. Let's talk about a movie that I think that we all probably liked, which is My Old Ass.
Really enjoyed it.
Really enjoyed it.
It was just like one short. Loved that. It got in and it got out.
It was like 88 minutes or something, right?
Yeah. Really nice length. It's very funny. If you don't know the movie, it's like a fun premise. You go on a mushroom trip and meet your future self, and that alone is just a really fun setup. And I loved the interplay between Aubrey Plaza and the girl that used to be on Nashville, and. Yep. It was just really delightful. I really enjoyed it, and I feel like there's not a lot you can say about this movie without ruining this movie.
I was very happy how quickly it got to the her talking to her older self.
Yeah, me too.
And how little of the movie that takes up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was shocked that that wasn't the whole film. Or that was something we were going to return to, because Aubrey Plaza leaves this movie for
a very long
time.
Yeah.
Which was, I was surprised to see, but I ended up really liking it almost because of that.
Yeah.
Not that because I love her. I mean, wow, platinum for life. But.
Oh, yeah.
I was shocked that it was kind of about other things than I was expecting.
Yeah. I really liked was it Maisie Stella? Is that her name?
Yes.
Great performance from her. Really just like the interplay with her and the family and kind of like some of the subplots there.
I love
when it comes
brothers.
Back around.
Or I've not yep. so much the brothers as much as her relationship with them.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I thought like all the golf stuff was very fun. It was a very cute little like just like hanging out with your brother. I thought that where it ends, it's very sweet, bitter. It's just like it's very nice. Like it's not what you think it's going to be, but I guess you could kind of see it coming. But like when it does hit, I was crying.
It got me good. It's just really it's like a sweet, funny movie. That I'm like, listen, I would take movies made like this all day long.
Yep.
That they get in, they get out, they make you laugh, they make you cry. That's like, what more can you ask for? And it's interesting. It's not doing something you've seen before. And even if you think you know what it's gonna be, it's not gonna be that. That like I don't know how much more you can ask for in a movie these days. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to kind of enjoy the performance of Maddie Ziegler, music from music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So it feels like we're starting to forgive her.
She's a child,
right?
She was like 17 when she made that movie.
Yeah,
like come on, we gotta see.
We don't forgive, but Maddie Ziegler, acts some more. I thought she was very fun. The other friend, I did not recognize. I just looked at Carice Brooks. She was in Prom, but I don't remember her in that. But I really liked her.
She was great. I could have watched the friends hang out.
Yeah.
Yes.
For a little bit more, but the movie is lean. Like they really, it leaves you wanting more, and it does not overstay its welcome. And I do kind of think that this movie would have gotten a little maudlin if it was longer, because it would have like leaned more into the drama, heavy drama. Because that's really the only other place to go. I don't think it was going to use 10 more minutes to be funnier.
Right.
So I'm kind of, I feel like there's an edit that is that's more gut wrenching, and we didn't need that. So
nope.
I feel like this movie was cut down to size to be what it should be.
Yeah. As I said, want to avoid spoilers on it. Cause there's like so many things I like about this movie that are technically spoilers. There are things that I think that they're very clever about that make the movie more dramatic or interesting than it is. I'm fucking dancing around this. I guess a little thing, like it has quite possibly the best weaponized character naming I've seen in a while.
Oh yeah.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
So that was fantastic. What was it? Oh, and I expected this to not be a modern day set film. I don't know why. So when it turns out they're like pretty much a queer group of friends and they have a cell phone, I was like, oh, I was surprised that these are modern kids, and that still worked. I don't think it mattered at all what generation you're from.
No.
To enjoy it.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless you hate queer kids.
Oh, all right.
That would be the one wrinkle.
That would be that. That's an interesting note to end on. But from there, we can kind of keep it going. And let's talk about. Well, let me take a look here. We got a couple of threers. But let's get some tours out of the way.
Yeah.
And the thing that I really want to hear about is The Wild Robot, because I'm annoyed that I haven't seen
this. Oh, I just watched it today. It is one. It is beautifully animated.
Okay.
If DreamWorks's newish thing is this like painterly shit they did in The Last Wish, Puss in Boots, and The Bad Guys to a certain extent, it looks awesome. It looks really good. The story is great. It is like, it's good DreamWorks. I think Lupita is awesome. Pedro Pascal is having a lot of fun as a fox. And the movie is just really, 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 really cute. It also does a very good job of being a movie about autism without saying it's about autism. I don't know. It's just great. It's really great. I think it's funny. It's heartwarming. It's cute. This is the sort of movie that would be really fun to watch with a nephew or like, you know, godchild or some shit like that. Really good.
All right. Yeah. I kind of expected Pete to jump in there as well.
I muted. So I really want to see it again, because I did really like it. There were times in which I was like, this is a 5-star masterpiece. And at times I was a little bit like just kind of like thrown off balance. Because it's very cute. It's very serious at times. It makes kind of light of death.
Yeah.
Which I found very surprising.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Because we do dance around that as a thing with kids. And it's like, it does happen. Lots of kids will experience it.
Yeah.
And especially in nature, it happens even more.
Yeah. If you're going to tell a deep story about nature, you have to not be afraid of it.
Yes.
Right. So that was the first thing that I was kind of like confused by, because I found the opening 25 minutes gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like up until the point in which he actually starts raising the duck, the goose. But to not, you know, because it's not a spoiler, because it's a kids movie, this always happens. Like, it gets to the point in which a character really finds out Bitcoin. One character.
Yeah.
What?
They get really into Bitcoin like every other kids movie.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It gets to a point where one character finds out another character has been lying to them. Mm-hmm. It gets to that point so quickly.
Oh, yeah. It was like 40 minutes in.
Yeah. So in my head, I thought that's where the movie was going to end up. Because, like, there's 900 movies that have trained me to this format and this pacing. So the fact that it gets to there already, and then there's like three more acts after that, that I was just kind of thrown off by, as I said, the pace of it, because I'm just not trained to follow a story that's moving that quickly, especially if it's for children. So I think I'm interested to see, did they get through those and move through those paces because they know kids' attention spans are a little bit different, and if you're making a more serious film, you have to really go quickly through all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to want to sit back and just wait for like when the two characters are mad at each other an hour and 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
So I, that makes me really want to watch it again, because now I know how it's going to be paced. I'm not like confused that like, wait, has it been 80 minutes when I think it's only been 30? Like that kind of stuff. So it put me, as I said, it just put me off balance that, as I said, I think on a rewatch, I'm going to be absolutely over the moon with it.
Yeah. This movie burns through plot, like it in a way that is very, very, very surprising. But I do think that was done with the target audience in mind. And success, and I think if that was the intent, like I think it was intentional. I think the goal was, listen, we gotta keep kids interested. We can't go too deep. We gotta boom, boom, boom. I was like, holy shit! Even like Lizzie kind of came and watched with me for a while and was like, how is this? There's more to this movie. I'm like,
yeah,
it's only been an hour and 40 minutes. It's only an hour and 40 minutes, which I guess is a little on the longer side for animated, but more with an hour and 40 minutes than most movies do.
Yeah. It tells way more than you would expect it to. And I think that kept surprising me in a way that just, not that excited me, but that slightly confused me. So as I said, the rewatch is necessary.
It feels almost like the Across the Spider-Verse of this franchise when it's the first one.
Yeah.
Which is odd. Like you would expect Into the Spider-Verse, we're just going to give you a little bit. And then like this one is already like feels like an expanded world. Like the last 30 minutes that I didn't think were going to be what they were, I'm like, you could have stretched this and made it its own thing. Like that could have been the part that could have been the Empire Strikes Back sequel. Like I just,
absolutely.
It's so weird that it does fuck with what you know about movies, because I was putting it into categories. I was like, okay, so it's Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and almost Return of the Jedi. So then it's Across the Spider-Verse. Because that would be its closest analog, even though there is no movie before it. And they've already greenlit the sequel, because I think it's doing well. Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right.
It looks beautiful. And it actually made me talk about, like, animals as I was watching it. I was like, dude, birds are fucking crazy. How do they know to just migrate? They just do that?
That's a good point.
It's wild.
Did they tell you that? Why?
They just show you shit, and it just makes you think about like the stuff you thought about when you were a kid. Even hibernation as a concept, I would love it Why can't we do that? I'd love to be like, oh shit, it's November. I'll see you in March.
Oh my God, just sleep for a long time. God, it'd be awesome.
Like, we all go to our houses. No one hangs out. We all watch Netflix. We eat. We sleep. And then in March, we're full of energy and we just like rock and roll. That shit would be sick. Economically speaking, it wouldn't be.
No, I mean, it probably wouldn't work out for the long run for, you know, but whatever. See it. It's fun.
This is a very good movie. See it with a nephew. See it with a kid. It's probably better that way.
This is probably the thing that I'm the most excited to see at this point. And I've been meaning to. I've got it. And I'm going to watch it soon. So maybe that'll be a later tonight thing at this point. But let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. And tell me about, you know what? Let's just knock it out. Tell me about Saturday night.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
But I also don't remember it that much.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird. This is another one of those like, okay, why did this get made?
Agreed. Like, okay.
It, especially in the way they made it, like they're not going like full biopic. So you're telling the story of the 90 minutes before the first Saturday Night Live, kind of like it's 24, but like not really, because the movie is like an hour and 45 minutes, but they're telling 90 minutes, playing with the timeline a little bit, but they try to stick to it to establish the tension of the first live or the first Saturday Night. You're very invested in it being pulled off while you're watching it, even though you know it's going to be, you start to wonder, how the fuck is this gonna happen? There's a lot of like everyone you've ever seen in your life is in the movie. It's including Willem Dafoe, and it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable, but it's not essential. And I don't know that you could have made this movie essential, but I feel like for an institution that's now 50 years old and has done as much as it has for comedy and, you know, media at large, it feels like it deserves to have some kind of seminal thing made about it. But I also don't think you can do that. So I think what this is the best version of a story that is worth telling, but I also don't want to see that story told because I think this did enough. And that sounds very circuitous, but I think the story of SNL is best told by people talking about their auditions in podcasts.
Yeah, I
hear that's a great podcast.
That the Lonely Island Seth Meyers one?
That's what I've heard amazing things about it.
Yeah, I've heard very good things too. I got to start it.
It's
fun watching it, and it is propulsive. But whenever it tries to add emotion to any of the stories, all of that stuff misses for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, I don't care about the Lorne Michaels and his wife story. The Gilda Ratner actress does this like kind of heartfelt monologue above the skating rink that kind of misses for me.
Well, I think that's because they're trying to shoehorn her as the heart of the show, which I'm sure she was, but you're not showing me that. You're telling me that, and that's what's like a little bit annoying about her character. She does a fine job of pulling off a Gilda Radner, but I just feel like every time someone has to have like a moment that matters or a moment of like some deepness, there's Gilda. It's like it's like she's the magical Negro of this movie in a really weird way.
Yeah.
But I don't buy any of it because I'm like, I'm sure it didn't happen that way. We're just you're just choosing to rewrite the history of a dead person.
Yeah. As you said, the performances are great. I think Gabriel LaBelle is incredible.
He's really good. I'd like to see him play a normal person, like not somebody that I know. But he does a fucking awesome job of being Lorne by not doing the Dr. Evil Lorne.
No, agree. I think Cooper Hoffman's very good, but he still feels entirely too young for his role.
Wildly young. You're a you're like Dick Ebersol is like a TV executive I know, and I'm like, I get that there is a similarity like in a from an appearance standpoint, but I'm like, the guy was in his had to be in his 30s by that point, and you are like what 22? You're a kid. Like you're way too young. Pull off anybody of any authority. He does a great job, but he just still doesn't look the part.
I feel like I've only seen the trailer, but I definitely
he's
felt
21.
That from the trailer.
He's 21 years old, this kid. That's too young. That's too young to be playing a seasoned television executive.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rest of the cast from there, like, are all, as I said, all good. Whenever it tries to be important, it's not interesting. Whenever it just tries to be chaotic, it's very propulsive and fun.
Like, I was stressed out watching that guy lay those bricks.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, agreed. Just watching him lay bricks, I'm like, this shit's never gonna get done. Like, but that's the part of the movie that I think works is this shit gonna happen? And if your movie is that, like that's more of a technical achievement. I feel like Jason Reitman wants to have his cake and eat it too. He wants to make a movie that is like technically sound and like edge of your CD, but also has heart. And it's like, listen, some people not all movies get to be everything. Like this feels like what if Tenet tried to have a heart. I don't even know what Tenet was, but it was a crazy weird ride. Let it just be that.
Yeah.
But if they were what's the protagonist's motivation? who cares?
Quick sides. I saw Tenet in 70mm at the Museum of Moving Image like last month.
Ooh, nice.
And that is absolutely a movie theater movie. Clearly, everyone who's going to see that movie in the theater now is like, I just want to see this on the big screen. I don't care if it makes sense. And you could just feel the audience having the best fucking time because no one gave a shit.
I've been thinking it's playing, I think, at the Paris Theater is having like a whole bunch of like 70mm screenings this month. And I'm thinking about Tenet.
I am intrigued now because I saw it at home and I was like, this is objectively good looking.
Yeah.
But I have this movie isn't, if it's not completely enveloping my attention because I'm at home.
Yeah.
And
I remember watching it and then like my mom was just like, that movie could be interesting. I was like, all right, we'll watch it. And then we watched it. My mom was like, what did we just watch? I was like, I really don't know. I'll be honest.
Yeah. Absolutely a theater movie. Tiggs, do you want a Yankee update or are you trying to ignore it?
No, I know. I'm seeing it. Don't worry. Happy. can't you tell from the tone of my voice? All right. Speaking of, you know what? My proper response should have been, Pete, speak no evil.
Yeah, so it's hard to talk about this movie without, because I've seen the original.
I never saw the original.
Two or three years ago, it's either a Swedish movie or a Danish movie. I don't remember.
Let's just say Danish. I have no idea.
Yeah, let's say Danish. Well, because the problem is like one couple's Swedish and one couple's Danish, and I don't remember who the evil couple is. And I don't know if the evil couple is the country that made the movie or if the nice couple is the country that made the movie.
So, that's a good question. It's a good question.
Yeah. And I just don't have the brain power to remember.
So it was hard
to watch this without comparing it because it's tough to talk about my feelings about it without spoiling it. Because that's the major change.
Oh my gosh. When you said, did I want an update? Did you want to tell me what the hell?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
The Judge home run, yeah.
We should have done the Killers game instead. What are we doing here?
What I will say is James McAvoy is back kind of in the same lane he was for Split. I think he's such a fun weirdo, dangerous hot guy.
Yeah.
I think he's perfect in this role. I think Scoot McNairy and Mackenzie Davis are so fun as like the we're trying so hard to be polite people.
Mackenzie Davis is really, really good in this.
Yeah. I just love the dynamic of like we're so freaked out, but we're trying to be so polite. But when we get alone, we're so shitty to each other.
Yeah.
So question. I was so thrown when I heard that this movie was coming out because I was like, wait, this movie, it's not out yet. But then I realized, no, there was an original that I had like heard of, but didn't see. So yeah. I guess my question is, why on earth did they remake a movie this soon after? It's not even like, I feel like Funny Games even took like a couple years before it.
Funny Games took a while. Like Insomnia took a while. Like it's
like,
pretty,
why
it's kind
did
of weird.
This come out right away? Like within, like, cause Speak No Evil came out during the pandemic at some point, and now Speak No Evil has come out post pandemic. That just feels weird to me.
Yeah, it's. I think it was that movie didn't really make a splash on this side of the Atlantic, and I think that was just like it's a movie that I heard of just from like horror movie circles. That it's a really good thriller. So I don't think it kind of hit.
I think
not enough people saw it to really say anything about it.
Okay. Do you think if I was adding one of these movies to our collective Halloween movie list, could I watch the original? I mean, I know you're probably going to say the original, but think like a couple situations. Should I be watching the original? Will we be watching subtitles? Or should I be watching...
What's Liz's thought on horror?
Down for it if it doesn't require too much work. So, like, is it worth it to watch this one just because you don't have to read and, like,
yes.
You can just dial into it and it doesn't,
it's very
not
well
not
done.
That different?
Yeah, this one's definitely a little bit more fun.
Okay.
Besides the lack of reading, it's a little bit more fun and, like, you kind of get the humor of the awkwardness a little bit better than you do when reading Danish or Swedish.
Right. Okay.
Or both. Who knows?
Or both,
That tracks. I'm just going to add it right to my list. Perfect. I will see it.
Yeah. It's definitely worth a watch.
Speaking of worth a watch.
Yes.
I mean, the last two twos are both movies I haven't seen, nor will I. Actually,
you see the Killers Game?
I was about to say one of them is a nor will I. So talk to me about the Killers Game.
Okay, let's talk about the Killers Game. Pete, this is a very fun movie.
I had very low expectations for this.
Me too.
Sophia Boutella's in it, right?
Yeah.
She's in so many bad movies, dude.
Yeah.
Like so many.
And it's not something that you haven't seen before in the sense that, like, I don't know how cool we are as a culture with, like, a rotating cast of kind of stereotypical assassins from different countries. But I think that's a fun bit.
No, me too.
That might be the privilege talking.
Possibly.
But I still think that's fun, especially because my big thing is that Scott Atkins is in this movie.
Oh.
And I've never seen a movie that features Scott Atkins that feels more like it was supposed to be a Scott Atkins movie. Like, this feels like it should have been a directed DVD Scott Atkins, and then at one point someone was like, well, Batista's kind of interested, and they're like, okay, let's put it in the theater.
Okay, make it him.
Yeah. Because Drew McIntyre's in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Batista does, even Ben Kingsley has, a fairly decent role in this whole thing. He used to elevate it a little bit more.
And Ben Kingsley in an action movie certainly throws a wrench in the discussion of, was this ever just a direct-to-DVD movie?
Right, exactly.
Does it look like his scenes were added in after the movie was made?
No, luckily
no,
not.
It doesn't. like it makes sense for him to be there and for like his whole arc. And there's, you know, I guess you're kind of questioning it at some points, but like I think it's really, it's just a fun action movie. It's very funny at times, like the twist you already know going into the movie. So, you know, not a big deal, but it does take a little while to get there. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
For something that's revealed in the trailer. You feel like it should just be 10 minutes in, and instead it's like, well, we're about halfway through. I guess we'll say this now.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's definitely a way more rewatchable movie than like other stuff on this list.
Probably the one we'll get to after this, for sure.
Yeah, but definitely like dumb, go in to have a good time, and I think I might think it's a better movie because of how much I enjoy it the second time around, kind of thing. Like, oh, this is still fun.
Yeah. Okay. No, I definitely need to watch this again.
Yeah.
So speaking of definitely watch this again,
who's hosting this podcast?
Listen, because when it's movies I haven't seen, this is what I do.
Yeah,
I've decided.
Is it? We've been doing this for 10, 12 years.
Yeah, things had to change. I will cede power away as soon as you guys tell me about Joker Folie à Deux.
Okay.
A movie I
won't
watch.
Joker Folie à Deux. Do not. Wait, you will watch or won't watch?
Not unless it like happens to be someone else presses play on my TV in my house.
You should throw at the TV at that point. I'll be honest.
Just get that sounds TV. Like a hostage situation.
Yeah.
I just got a new big TV.
Well, I'm sorry, but if it gets sullied by the Joker or sullied, I think
this movie sucks. To be clear, if that wasn't obvious.
Give me the elevated criticism that I know you guys are capable of. I want to know why really everybody, sucks. Everyone else is saying it sucks, but I want to know why you guys think it sucks.
So the musical scenes
they're dumb.
Yeah, they don't add anything. They don't deepen anything, and they're also not engaging.
Are they people? They're not necessarily. Are they musical scenes where it's like someone is talking their feelings through musically, or is it musical? Everyone breaks out into song and dance. Is it just them? What's the deal?
It's just them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much like it's their shared delusion that they're having these musical moments.
Right.
Oh, I don't care about that. I mean, I guess I always knew. I guess I assumed it'd be that, but I don't.
Yeah, right. For whatever it's worth, and the original Joker was, you know, a terrible movie. But like there was a nihilism about it that you felt kind of had a point to it in some way. Like I think I hated the point that it was making, and I also hated the movie and most of everything about it. But I was like, okay, I could see why you made it. This I don't understand why they made it.
I think it seems like he made it because he could.
Right.
Like, I think that alone, and like maybe to push back against incels that have made the Joker like their guy. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, because I'm like, I don't get how you only, because even conceptually when this movie was first announced, I was like, are you just being like a fucking up your own ass asshole right now? You don't like how people think of your movie, so and this is your first attempt at making something that's actually good, even though you already made something that was actually good, a la Road Trip. So I feel like he kind of got elevated into the A-list of prestige directing, but only jerk-offs like that movie. So he was like, how do I fix this? I'll make something terrible.
And with Joker or with the Hangover 2. Or with
the I hate all three. The I hate every last one of those fucking movies.
I mean, he basically got famous because he's Bradley Cooper's friend, right? Like that's what this is.
That's where those came. Road Trip, and a couple of those movies he wrote with Scott Armstrong. So he was like kind of tangentially involved with some UCB people. He had some like kind of cult documentaries before all this.
Yes, right, there's the Frat House.
Yeah.
And what was it? The G.G. Allen documentary or whatever. Yeah. Old School, I guess, at some point, right? That was him.
Yes, I enjoyed Old School, but I also think that movie is not nearly as funny as people make it out to be. Because there's a lot.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
There's long stretches without jokes.
Yeah.
And like this was around the time where like Adam Sandler movies were, you know, everywhere. And his movies are like, they're nonsense, but they are consistently funny if you think he's funny. And I watched Old School for the first time and I was like, this movie is a lot of story here. And
I haven't watched it in a while.
A lot of story. And there's not that many jokes. Like Vince Vaughn speaking quickly isn't a joke. That's just the thing he does as an actor, the same way Owen Wilson does what he does. But if that's all they're doing, that's not really enough. Like, I need a movie to give me some stuff. And the bits are very few and far between in Old School. It's not a bad movie, but it's not like this laugh out loud. Because people were ready to anoint it as like the funniest movie ever made. I'm like, it have to tell jokes regularly. Yeah. But anyway, so Folio
Due. Well, so I guess like so with Joker, I don't know, there was some amount of point that I guess was kind of like what happened or what does society do to like a mentally unstable person or like when like there was a better movie could have nuanced that and instead that just kind of glorified a lot of things about it. And I feel like this is very much like what happens when a woman manipulates a mentally unstable person to some extent.
Which was a weird choice. So I've heard
that was unnecessary.
Because I've heard that take of, Todd Phillips made a movie to like break down the mythos of the Arthur Fleck Joker. And not even that successful, though.
No, it's not. It's just, like, I mean, again, he puts his fingers in the mouth of a child at one point. Like, there's...
Yeah. Ew.
Yeah, it's just so boring and long. And
so much of it is just a court case. None of the scenes are
engrossing. It's not exciting at any moment. And not that all movies have to be, but you're not, like, there's no tension to it.
No.
It's so flat. And as I said, if there's singing and dancing, shouldn't that add some life into it? And the answer is no, it doesn't.
It's devoid. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a movie made out of like hate or angst or something like that. Like, I don't even know how to like, I don't, like, don't see it. It's just bad.
Yeah, it's not even essential to even if you like Joker, I can't imagine you liking this because it's just there's not the same even attempts. Todd Phillips, you straight up copied Martin Scorsese to try to like do something slightly kind of like it. And like, you know, people thought that was successful and good for those deeply stupid people. But this one doesn't even like there. It doesn't feel like it's attempting anything.
Right.
As you said, like the first movie made $1 billion and they're like, all right, here's 2 hours and 18 minutes to do anything you want, even if that means musical numbers in this movie. And he's like, cool. I'm just going to shoot stuff. And that's it. Like nothing. It's so bad.
Is it like his attempt at being like an auteur, or is it not even that?
I don't think it's that. I think that there is probably, I don't know. You know what? Like, I'm not going to try and guess and like, and like attribute a meaning or like even like the concept of a meaning to it, but it really feels like, I don't know. Even the ending, is it like an or like there was always that quote or I don't know if it's a direct quote, but Joaquin Phoenix being just like, I don't know, maybe this guy is the one who inspires the Joker to become the Joker. And like, is that like kind of the meaning of the end of the movie? And like, is it just going to be like some sort of a line of like the next Joker that comes along type of thing? And like evil begat evil, begat evil, begat evil or something like that. And just evil inspires evil. But it's not like it's a mentally challenged person. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, is bad. This just, society?
Just bad. Just
is
bad.
This where we're living? Ugh.
Yeah.
The only one that's available to us. I'd rather talk about another movie, but yeah. I am
okay.
Out
then let's talk about the one that exists in Megapolis.
Hell yeah. Let's talk about a utopia, a true utopia.
Where the Megalon flows like the salmon of Capistrana. What a fucking... I now understand why nobody gave him this money.
Yeah. Yeah, why would you to do that?
For 40 years, he was trying to get this movie financed, and he needed $120 million to do it.
And so he sold off like all of his vineyards to do this, right?
Yeah. This is Francis Ford Coppola. Yeah. You think if he doesn't have enough equity within like the world of Hollywood, if we can give Todd Phillips $200 million to make a movie that will lose $300 million.
Somehow, yeah, crazy.
I find it so unbelievable that Francis Ford Coppola, some would argue, is a filmmaker that is at least a little better than Todd Phillips, can't get his $120 million to make this absolute piece of... I don't even want to call it a piece of shit, because it's better than a piece of shit, but it is so bad.
Yeah, it's a movie theater.
It's actually crazy.
It's beautifully stupid.
Yeah,
I can't believe how much cheaper this was than Joker.
Honestly,
it cost as much money, and it looks good. The cast is
really good.
You put this cast in any movie, and you should have a Best Picture nominated film with this cast in any movie with a budget of this caliber. But this movie is absolutely asinine.
Yeah.
I will watch it again.
I would totally watch it again. There's part of me that's like,
it's not so bad. Babylon. No, I like Babylon. But I understand, but this movie does feel very Babylon-esque.
Yeah.
In that sense. Like, I like Babylon because it tipped my scale to eventually liking it. This did not get there, but Babylon is a movie I had rewatchability just like this does. Like, this movie makes no sense.
Yeah.
And it's so good. So
in a long line of I want to rewatch this is the big kind of Peter's thesis of the entire episode today, that this is one I think I'm going to hold on to for theaters only. Because it's huge, it's weird, it's insane to look at and listen to. But I think if I try to watch this at home, I would walk away.
And there are some there are insane performances in this movie.
Yeah,
go back to the club.
Aubrey Plaza.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Shia, welcome back, I guess. I don't know if you're canceled, but like.
I don't know, but like. This Aubrey Plaza should be the Joker after that.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want next.
I didn't know she had that in her. And I don't even know if we need that ever again.
I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. It was so weird watching this, like, not too long after My Old Ass. I was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. The range, like Adam Driver, like, what were you doing?
Yeah.
What was going on?
Weird.
If I could be anybody in this movie, and as I was watching it, I was thinking about it, I would want to be Lawrence Fishburne. He comes out.
Oh, totally.
I think he comes out pretty well in this movie. He gets to narrate like every 20 minutes. He gets to like just say stuff that sounds important because he's got a great voice. And he just drives a car, opens a door. Doesn't really have to do a whole lot, and because he doesn't have to do a whole lot, we don't get to laugh at him. But he comes out of this movie like clean as a fucking daisy. Giancarlo Esposito was trying so hard, and it was funny to watch him try to like eat, like he was really trying to capital A act. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing here to do that with. Like, this movie is just nonsense. Do whatever the fuck you want, though. Like, stop trying. I wanted to be like, sweetie, no, just do whatever. Like, just, it doesn't matter. This is dumb. John Voight was great. And I didn't know he still had his faculties.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Maybe he didn't. And he just thought this was, he might not have realized he was in a movie.
But this his very shitty vote is going to count this November is the worst part. But
yeah,
fingers crossed. Dude sucks. Yeah,
I saw this
in a pretty packed Lincoln Square IMAX.
Did you see the special edition where a person came out and read the questions?
Sadly, no.
I saw this last weekend. So I guess they must not have been doing that anymore, which was probably good because there were only three people in my theater.
They were really doing that only once a day, for
like a week, basically. It was called like the ultimate cut or something crazy like that. And there was nothing different.
The ultimate immersive experience?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we think there is a Blu-ray copy of this movie that you can buy that entitles you to a few of those every now and again, and you don't know when they're coming, but somebody breaks into your house every now and again. Like, not all the time. They're not doing it all the time. But
I want it to come with a little script that you get little note cards and you're supposed to read them to the movie.
Oh my God. If I had kids, I would make my children do that every Friday night. They'd be like, oh God, daddy wants to watch Megalopolis again. It would be our thing.
Yeah.
What a stupid, and Chloe Fineman is so distracting in this movie from SNL. I'm like, why are you here?
Yeah.
You don't fit.
How much laughter was happening in your theaters?
There was three people in the theater, so absolutely none.
Oh, okay.
I was doing some chuckling, but not a lot of laughter.
I think it wasn't that packed. There was more than three, but it was probably about a quarter packed. I went like right after work, and it was mostly me and probably a bunch of people sleeping.
Yeah. As I said, so at my packed theater, we were having a ball.
Oh. Okay, that's cool.
And no bigger moment than the ending title card that's like a new Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, God. Actually, we got some laughs. To humanity or whatever the fuck he says.
Oh my God.
What an old guy thing to say.
Yeah. We absolutely lost our minds. My whole theater was dying at that moment, and it did get an applause.
It was really
funny. That's awesome. Okay.
That was one of the funniest. That was the funniest part of the movie, I think. I would love to see that. I also appreciate that a movie this big is only 2 hours and 18 minutes.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
this
going
could have been four fucking hours long.
I was expecting 4 hours. And when I saw that this was 218, I was like, God, this is going to be breezy. Like, what like, what did he cut out of this thing? And then watching it, I'm like, either everything or nothing. I can't tell.
I would have liked a little bit more background on what the Megalon truly was. And where it came from. Why it exists. It's just, this movie is nonsense. I thought Wicked would be this year's Cats, but I think Megalopolis is this year's
you're
Cats.
Right. You're totally right.
And I think this is a movie that has to be watched with other people. I fucked up and saw it by myself because I waited 2 weeks and it was no longer in theaters. But this movie is the new Cats.
Yeah,
I can't believe how quickly this was out of theaters. Like, especially for, I mean, I understand that there was like, you know, no reception to it, but it is like Coppola and like, I don't know. I saw Jack in theaters like 3 weeks after it came out. I feel like Jack had a longer theater run than this.
And this guy is like, we're watching one of the greatest directors of all time, like, bankrupt himself.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool to me to watch, like, a damn near billionaire just lose it all. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
All right. On that note, let's take it home with The Substance.
Or the greatest movie I've ever seen in my whole entire life.
Yeah, I went and saw this, and then later on in the next couple days, like next week, saw a lot of like reception online that was like, well, this movie's not that smart, or like blah blah blah. And I was just like, wait, this movie had a point? I was just cackling so happy watching this movie for 2 hours. I thought it was so fucking fun.
It was great.
And sure, it's like message you could argue is a little top level, but I think it's
sure.
It doesn't matter when you're this fun.
Well, obviously, when like the thing puts on like a paper mask at the end and everyone is fine with it, it's a little top level, you know, like yeah. There's
I will say I've never been more thankful for, like, I saw this at Jacob Burns. They have a bar and like a restaurant above, like in the upper level now of that theater. So I went up and then I looked at my letterbox and I saw Tiggs, you say, should not have eaten during this movie. And I had just ordered mac and cheese. It was like a white shell mac and cheese.
Oh, no, that's not the right thing for. Oh, God.
And I was like, fuck. I don't know what to do right now because it's in me now. So at least it's not while I'm watching it. I'm getting before the movie. So I ate it. I slugged a beer. I slugged another beer because I was like, I don't want any like filmy, cheesy residue in my mouth because he's saying it's gross. And then as soon as I saw Dennis Quaid start eating shrimp, there's a lot of gross shit in this movie. Nothing is grosser than that.
That's
Nothing.
The one that's the sequence that still haunts me.
I can't. Like, I don't. It's the most disgusting thing I've seen.
Fun.
Yes. Such a close up on his face, and his ears. Oh my God! And his name is Harvey. Like come on. Like again. Yeah. On the nose.
So on
like,
the nose.
This is. It's so fucking fun. And I would again, like I knew it was going to be a body horror thing. I didn't really know like how deep it was going to get into it or how gross it was going to be.
No, because people throw body horror around.
Yeah.
All the time now. And it's like, what do you even mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, somebody got decapitated or something. Like, okay. Like whatever. Like, it's probably not going to be that bad. And so I go in and like, I've got, and I sneak in, you know, like just the innards of a gyro.
That's what you were eating?
Yes.
Oh dear God.
And I'm just sitting there eating it, and I'm just like, I think I'm gonna throw up.
Oh God. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's
because like no so as you said, that. With the
Definitely
body
takes
horror
a knockoff for me.
With the body horror, I'm like, oh, her like gross finger, that's disgusting. And then I'm like, I guess I'm interested to see where this movie goes next. And then it's like her knee that's really fucking gross.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I'm like, well, I guess, it's you know, gross. It's like, not going to go much further. And
it's
then
not
the movie
horror.
Won't.
It's not good, but it's not horror. Okay.
And then the movie's like, we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
The last 20 minutes is so relentlessly offensive.
It's just an assault.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep my eyes off the screen, but I also had to look at everybody else looking at it. I was a fucking maniac. I wish I was possessed so my head could spin all the way around because I just wanted to watch people watch that last part of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it was fucking wild.
That last part is so insane. There's a lot of like Cronenberg comparison, but. Which I get, but it's so much campier, I think, than like a lot of that. Like, ends up
it is,
and so
it is having such a laugh about all of it, which is, you know, weird because the movie is about like, you know, women's beauty standards and all of that to a degree. But to just blow it all up at the end and laugh, I thought was like not how I thought that movie was going to end.
Not at all.
And then once it did that, I was like, this is actually perfect. Like, I don't think you can end this movie any other way than you did. And then you get through that last bloody, crazy scene, and it still doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And that shit is so funny to me till we get right back to the star on the Hollywood.
The star, the, yes.
Fame. Yeah. And I was like, at that point, I now understand why people give standing ovations for 40 minutes at like Cannes. I get it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I was like, I have no notes. This is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was in the same room as the director and stars and crew of this movie, I would stand up and clap for that long.
I'd have shaken to shake everyone's hand. I think Demi Moore is, she's not going to get an Oscar nom.
She should.
She's not going to because
everyone's going to think this movie is
dog shit. And two, even if they tried to show the 20 seconds where she should have gotten it, all they can show is when she kept going back inside to fix her makeup. That's the only scene that you can show of her in this movie.
Yeah.
And that's to say nothing of what's her face? I'm blanking on her name right now.
Margaret Qualley.
She's unbelievable.
Fantastic.
She's really good.
She is so good in this, and it really is a two-hander, but it kind of isn't. It's a little bit more Demi's because, you know, they are one, and it's
right. Yeah, exactly.
I fucking
can't
love
go back
this movie. This has gone like up in Russ's favorite movies of all time. Like, it was 100% for me. I'm like, this is like, what if Titan was better?
That I completely agree with that exact.
And I love
like, view Titan. Of this. Yeah.
But Titan didn't really have as much to say about anything. That movie was more just like, the world is shit. And this is like, well, yeah, but we have an actual point about an actual thing. Titan is just like weirdo shit I like. This was weirdo shit I like with a little bit more of a point and way more comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's like the best movie I've ever seen. I loved it. But I knew
it's
like
so as, fun.
I was like, this was so for me. And I've told Lizzie, she's like, do you think I'd like it? I'm like, I don't know. You will hate it and hate me and maybe leave me. Or you'll think it's really good, but I do not believe there's an in-between.
Yeah, no. I did the same thing. Caitlin wanted to know, was like, oh, if you're going to go see it, can you let me know if you think I could handle it? And I spent like 40 minutes being like, I'm not sure. Because like the Sue, quote unquote, birthing scene or whatever you want to call it. I was like, she'd be fine with this. And then like 40 minutes later, I was like, movie, you've never made this choice easier. It's a big no. Thank you so much.
A dumber me would say yes. And the dumber me did that with Titan and I learned my lesson.
The dumber me would put this movie on and then just turn away from the movie and just watch Caitlin the entire
time. Yeah, exactly. I'm not, yeah, just
yes,
to see.
Yes.
While like pointing at the screen, like thumbs up pointing at the screen, like, hey, you see this?
Right. See like, I cool? already know I'm a weirdo creep. I get that. We all know that. So she knows it. I don't need to prove a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
If I don't think she's going to enjoy this movie, I'm not going to do it. But I have been thinking about it for a month and a half now. I loved it.
Yeah.
I have no notes. It will likely... No. This has entered my top 10 near the top one.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Yeah. This is going to be another one that I'm going to want to rewatch without eating.
You can I'm going to fast forward through the shrimp.
Just the shrimp.
That's really the worst part. That's honestly probably the worst part.
Awful.
It's horrifying.
And that's before anything else happens.
Yeah.
Right?
And like it's like 10 minutes in.
Not one nasty thing happens. Nothing weird happens. It,
like, she hasn't even taken the drugs yet.
Yeah.
No, I was like, oh, now I know why this is body horror, because I'm violently ill from the shell, from the white cheddar shelled mac and cheese that I ate.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
giving me shrimp vibes.
All right.
if you have time, it's on Shudder, but I'm sure you're able to find it in other ways. Wink, wink. The director's first movie from 2017, it's called Revenge. It's
really I've heard good. Of it. I have not seen it. I will find a way to see it.
Definitely heard of it. Yeah, but I will check that out as well. Okay. Nice. All right, that brings us to the end. Only what? I'm assuming that the Mets are in the top of the second inning right now.
They are in the top of the second inning. One out.
One out there. Yankees are barely squeaking this right now. 4-3, top of the ninth. What do we have coming up the rest of the year? There's got to be something spooky in the next, like, 2 weeks, right?
Well, to say real quick and just reiterate for you guys, on Netflix, watch Rebel Ridge.
Yeah, I do want to see that.
On Netflix,
about it.
The new film from the director of The Night Comes for Us, another Malaysian action film, Shadow Strays, came out today or tomorrow. And then A Different Man. I can't stress enough that you guys got to go see it.
I do really that's very high on my list of shit to see. I left my theater very quickly.
Are any of you have any interest in Smile 2?
Yeah,
I'm gonna see it. I didn't really like Smile.
Smile's fine. It's not great. In fact,
I just don't know how
it did the annoying thing of cutting away from all of the murders. Like it would show right up until it, and then it would kind of cut away. And I just didn't really care for it. But
is Smile the one that ends with her like in a dream with like a big monster at the end, and she kills the monster?
Oh, no, didn't she like burn in a house or something?
Yeah, something like that.
She thought she was killing the monster, and the like monster like enters into her mouth.
Oh, okay. So
and then yeah, she's then the she ends up killing now. Herself in front of the guy.
Okay.
So my thing with Smile is like how do you add to that formula?
Right, like I feel like the only way to add to it is to give even more mythology, and I don't care about that.
Yes. And also, so this Smile 2 is 2 hours and 7 minutes long.
Jesus Christ, what?
Why do you need that much time for a movie that has, like, as we said, like, set in stone rules about how it works?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. As I said, how can you just not do the creepy smiling people scenes again? Like, what else could there be?
This time they got Jack Nicholson's son to be in the movie so that he can do the Kubrick stare. It's so stupid. Did you see, I'm going to guess maybe just Tiggs, the movie Truth or Dare?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Where, smile stupidly and then kill yourself.
Yeah.
Smile is just like kind of that again.
It's that one. Yeah. Totally.
That just came out. And I'm like, we're just doing that again. But somehow Smile gets to be seen as something that's legitimately good. But we never got a Truth or Dare 2. Even though at Truth or Dare, they were like, yeah, everyone has to die. Everyone dies. Everyone's going to die.
But is it? So my thing about that as well, isn't that what Smile 2 is setting up? How does Smile 2 not end like the Truth or Dare movie?
Right. It has to.
Oh, like they broadcast themselves smiling on the internet and then everyone smiles?
Well, no, because the girl in the main character is a pop star in Smile 2.
Right. Yeah.
So clearly she's going to, like, how does this, she kills herself on stage, right?
I'm imagining. So, like,
and it affects the whole crowd or on TV and it affects the whole audience?
I think that's what's going to happen, but it's like, then what? There's a third one? Like, unless you can tell me how to end this, I'm not really interested. And I know that sometimes, like, the there is no way to stop it is, like, interesting, but it kind of isn't. And you're giving me a second movie? Don't worry, everyone's going to die. It's like, okay, cool. But I at least like to see a single loophole to get out of it. And you've made a movie where that's not possible.
It's not possible.
So then why am I watching?
I'm sure it's going to have some fun sequences, but I just can't, I don't understand how it does anything different.
No.
And if that's a giant, and it's like really good because that's a huge surprise, like, okay. But I don't know. It's just, I can't get excited for it.
Not at all. So we've got that coming out tomorrow. along nice. With I'm assuming Anora is only coming out doing a New York and LA release tomorrow.
That is.
Oh, that's the yeah. new Sean Baker. Florida Project, Red Rocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Tangerine.
It looks awesome, but
it won the Palme d'Or and it's supposed to be incredible.
Right. So we've got yes. that, but that's this week, which really doesn't mean this week unless you're going to I'm guessing Lincoln Center
Lincoln Center,
Angelica, and I'm not right. doing that. So we've got Smile 2 and that this week.
Actually, it's only at the Angelica and the Alamo Draft House in downtown Brooklyn.
Really? Here.
Yeah.
That's a really weird. Oh, okay.
And then the week after it opens wide and it's in the AMC Empire, Kips Bay.
Nice. Okay.
So that's weird that it's not doing Lincoln this weekend with Angelica.
That's super weird.
Yeah.
And then the following weekend we've got Conclave, which actually looks kind of good.
It's supposed to be good. It's supposed to be more fun and silly than you would expect it to be.
I liked All Quiet on the Western Front, and I did not think I would. So it's that guy making something else. And then
I enjoyed that.
It was like it shouldn't. I shouldn't have liked it. It feels very boilerplate and bland, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next week we get that and Venom 3, which feels like it's kind of coming out with a whimper.
The Last Dance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to see the shit out of it because this movie is 100%. Stupid and also fine. But
I'm kind of excited for it.
That might be a get real high and go see movie for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Then we go into November with A Real Pain, that Kieran Culkin, Jesse Eisenberg joint. And here, Robert Zemeckis showing Tom Hanks and Robin Wright's life from
one vantage point in a single room.
Like, does he just want to make an actual movie or does he want to just, like, do
weird stuff? I don't know. I don't get it.
He hasn't made a real movie, and I feel like 20 some odd
Flight.
Years.
Flight would be his last like actual and it was great. Film. Yeah.
Flight was really good. Yeah.
Because it was just telling a story. He's always trying to do some weirdo shit and no one cares.
But Blitz, I'm excited for. The new Steve McQueen is that weekend.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great.
Love him.
And then November stuff picks up a bit. We get Heretic, which that's Hugh Grant finally leaning into the villain that he's always been.
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
We get that dog shit Amazon movie, Red One, with The Rock.
Oh my God, I'm totally seeing that.
Sure. But we've got some things. We mentioned probably 6-7 movies. But by the time we cast, which will definitely, I think, be before the year is over.
I feel like
an early December drop, but we're going to have 45 different movies that we talk about.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I'm excited. This is going to be great. What just happened? Tell me.
It's just like... Sorry, it's the Yankees. They put Rizzo in as a defensive replacement, and he's like boxed 2 plays so far.
Oh, but you guys are up 5-3.
I was going to say, it's 5-3 right now. How many outs are there? Let me know.
None.
Oh, crap. All right. Well, then we got to get out of here. I got to
out of the night. All right. Inning. Where can we find us?
You can find us on the web at moviepodcast.com. You can find Russ on all the social medias. This is Russ Incredible. You can find Peter on Letterboxd as Peter Petey.
Funky. Did we tell you guys about Alex's snafu with my Letterboxd?
I think we had like a little.
Oh yeah, I think we talked about it last time when he was on. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, I think so. Was that just like a base hit or was that a home run? I'm watching it. Just the person's apartment across the street. Yeah. Okay.
He's fine. It's fine. No outs, man.
Right. You can find me Strava, Letterboxd, Johnny Tiggs. Give me kudos on my runs. And that's about it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in December. When it's cold outside on the movie podcast.
What do you think about this boner I've got?